Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, Joe Stazak, along with my man Steve Callis, Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis. Wild card weekend in the books. We're looking ahead to the divisional round. It is January 10th, one day after a new champion has been crowned on the college football field. First of all, let's welcome our champion of note, Steve Callis. How are you doing, my friend? Are you still on one of those highs from that game last night? I mean, both of us had Clemson, but I don't think we expected it to come down to the last second.
Well, just amazing, especially after last year's game. But I thought last year's game is what gave you the intelligent pick to pick Clemson to win outright, because he torched them last year, and at the end of the day, he torched them this year. And I didn't think the clock management was the greatest at the end, and Dabo Swinney afterward said, oh, we're playing for the win, we're not playing for the tie. Well, they let an awful lot of time click down. You know, you're on the 29-yard line with less than 30 seconds left.
Yep.
So I understand the whole confidence thing, but I think they were a little fortunate. But, yeah, I thought because of last year, they certainly knew what they were getting from Alabama. Alabama wasn't as deep up front as they were the year before. And I think they got gassed. They got gassed at the end of last year. But last night, 99 plays. That's got to be some kind of record. And as great as Alabama is defensively, like last year, they wore down at the end.
Yeah, Steven, I got to be honest. I'm with you. I'm watching the clock wind down. I know they had two timeouts left. They want to save one in case they need a field goal. You know, Jordan Leggett comes up with a ridiculous catch, and then they get an interference call. So it got them down to the two with enough time for one or two plays, but I thought they were really, you know, pushed the envelope there. But, I mean, they came up with big play after big play after big play, and you could say what you want about Deshaun Watson, 420 yards, another outstanding performance, three touchdowns, no picks, but his receivers really came up big, Mike Williams and Jordan Leggett, and, of course, the walk-on Hunter Renfrow.
No question, and the Leggett catch is just an astounding, you know, you see a guy catch like that, and maybe he goes to the next level just based on the athleticism to make that kind of catch. Williams is unbelievable. I think he's a top pick. He's a man among boys. And I do want to say all this stuff that they were talking about, I totally disagreed with the first half of the game where they said Deshaun Watson, he's a little rattled. He seems a little nervous. He looks like a freshman. No. I don't know what the concussion protocol is in college, Joe. I got to say, I don't know exactly what it is. But both Watson and Williams should have been in that concussion protocol. Now, Williams went out. If you looked at him at the sidelines at the when he took a big hit, he looked like he didn't know where he was. And I thought Watson really, as we said in the old days, got his bell rung, and he didn't come out. So I think it really took him a half to, like, shake the cobwebs out. Nobody talks like this anymore because it's such a serious issue. But I don't think he was scared. He just torched them last year. So I don't think it was fear. I don't think he was rattled. I think they went out of their way almost to try and hurt him with that early 15-yard penalty. I wouldn't say that someone would say, go take this guy's head off, but clearly they tried to intimidate him, and thankfully, clearly, it did not work. But I didn't think he was scared or rattled or nervous or anything. I thought he got his bell rung a couple times in the first half, and I thought Williams did as well.
Yeah, no, it did. And in the second half, there was a play where he was stopped short of a yard, Watson running for a first down on third down, and he almost got helicoptered, and I don't know how he got up from that hit, but he got banged around pretty good. And again, you know, Alabama, top defense in the country, and the first half it's going to look maybe a little bit like that, but like you said, they got gassed, 99 plays. It looked like they wore down, and he got settled in as the game went along, and I just thought that the fact that they hung around, and Hunter Renfrow had the two touchdowns, but he also had a tackle on a play that could have been a fumble six by Alabama that they ended up holding them to three. And that was big because then it's a 10-point game, not a 14-point game, in which they were already down 14. And they did enough to hang around and hang around, and it was just an amazing finish. And I really like when you see an inspirational win like that. And for a guy like Dabo Swinney, I was listening to his story today about growing up in the house with his father being an alcoholic. He slept in the car many nights. His mom was a roommate with him in college because of their situation. And he just, you know, kind of has risen up through everything, was a walk-on at Alabama, won a championship with Gene Stallings. And then he does this last night. I'm just really happy for the guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, he's turned it around. He said he came there 8 years ago to turn it around, and he absolutely did it. I did want to say this. I assume you had the same feeling. When Alabama's driving after Clemson takes the lead, Alabama late, and Jalen Hurts runs that, you know, incredible 30-yard scramble for a touchdown,
yes,
you immediately get the feeling nowadays with 2:01 left, you're like, wow, that might be too much time. And you
have that
feeling in
exactly.
So many games. It's almost like at the end of the game, can the defenses really stop? In the NFL as well, can the defenses really get stops? And certainly at that game, I think both defenses were a little gassed at the end. But I think that game was the perfect example. And, of course, I thought it was a little too much on the clock management, but, you know, they ended with 1 second. I do want to say one thing about the last play that I haven't heard anyone say. Tell me if you saw it. They certainly didn't say it on TV. When you kick an onside kick from where they kicked it, if you don't recover, you're giving Alabama a Hail Mary to win the game.
Or a Hail Mary. I would not have done that.
I didn't hear anything about that.
There was about, you know, it seemed like it was 10 minutes to decide on this 1 second. And I think going to break, maybe Fowler kind of threw it out there. But I'm thinking, I mean, I know what they're trying to do, and you hope that 1 second, all you need is 1 second. But it turns out if your knee's down and Alabama recovers there, you have a shot at the end zone from there. That's a dangerous play. I mean, I was
shocked that was not made such a big deal. I think it was a stupid play because that's the only way that you would give Alabama a chance. Maybe don't kick it deep because you don't want the chance of a gigantic run back,
sure,
although nobody really broke one. But because of the rule, you know, the college rule with your knee down, that wouldn't be true in the NFL. The game would have been over if it was an NFL game.
That's
but
correct.
Had Alabama done the same thing, caught it on their knee, and, you know, you're kind of surprised that they could not only recover the onside kick, but you'll recall the kicker recovered it, and he was like on the Alabama side of the ball, which was shocking to me. But I'll say it again, not that they would have completed it, but just the fact that you almost gave them a chance to talk about miracle comebacks if they had had a Hail Mary shot, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it, unfortunately, in the Giant game. These things do happen, but I thought it was a very dumb play, and you don't want to take away from the narrative of what a great win it was, but by the same token, that to me, you gave them a chance. If you like, just lift it over the front guy's head, kick it, 15, 20 yards, and have 11 guys charge the ball, I think that would have been a lot smarter than what they did. Although, they did get away with it.
They got away with it because Alabama kind of got caught napping. All they had to do was jump on and give their team a shot. I thought there was – this might be the OCD coach in me, but with 1 second left, I mean, Sweeney's, hugging play. Usually the coach will wait until the clock reads zero.
He's coaching.
I'm saying,
he's coaching.
Coaching, right, because he's still got one play, and it turned out to kind of be a bonehead play, and I'm texting him like I was on a stream, and I'm like, fellas, I mean, maybe it's me, but there's 1 second left, and I've seen crazy things happen, but they did get away with it. I was happy for them. Anything against Alabama, I think Nick Saban's unbelievable coach. It is hard to repeat. It's hard to keep winning at that level every year. I'm glad a new team took over. I'm glad it happened the way it happened. Any thoughts about the Lane Kiffin, how weird that was, and Sarkisian took over? Do you think that it had anything to do with anything? Jalen Hurts did not have a very good game. They were 2-for-15 on third down. Do you think they got conservative when they had the lead because they relied on their defense too much at all?
I think so, and even had to rely on that freaky wide receiver pass. It was almost like they were afraid to have Hurts throw it down the field. Well, I will defer to Paul Feinbaum, who I think is by far the best college commentator, who said he thought it was a disaster that they got rid of Kiffin for the sole reason that he thinks Kiffin would have calmed down Jalen Hurts, who he doesn't look nervous, but to me he played
nervous.
And to go 13-for-31 for 131 yards, not what you're looking from, only a true freshman. I totally get it. He's only going to get better.
Sure.
Alabama's going to
sure.
reload next year. I don't know what Clemson does when you lose a Watson. It's like losing a Vince Young or losing
yes.
a Jameis Winston or losing a Cam Newton. But Jalen Hurts
yep.
is going to be there three more years or at least two more years. He's certainly
yep.
not a pro-ready quarterback. But I think Finebaum was right in that he didn't think it was – so much the calling, although he said he didn't think that Sarkisian called a great game, but he focused more on Jalen Hurts and how, again, not a guy who lost his cool, just didn't play well. And
yes.
I thought that was a key factor in the game. Having said that, though, they did score 31. They did get the lead touchdown with 2 minutes to go. I don't know what more they could have done. But, you know, does that mean what? They should have had 38 points. They should have had 45 points like last year. Maybe. But I think it was just weird to do that in the last week of the season, literally. It just struck me as bizarre. But there seemed to be a real dislike towards the end. I don't know what the relationship was when Kiffin came on. You assume it was good. But certainly at the end, Lane Kiffin is not a guy to be yelled and screamed at. And I think he even commented on that when he took the Florida Atlantic job. I think he just wants to be a head coach again, and good for him. But I think it really galled him to have to stand there on national TV a couple of times and get verbally abused by Nick Saban for the whole country to see. That's not Lane Kiffin's view of Lane Kiffin. And, you know, he's also got a big
right.
ego, as
sure.
most of these guys do. So, yeah, I do think
sure.
it makes a difference. Do I think, does that mean they would have won if Kiffin was there? Well, we'll never know. I don't necessarily think so. They might have scored too early if Kiffin was the lead, was the offensive coordinator
sure.
as well. But I really thought you didn't think they were going to score on that play. I wouldn't advocate, although I've seen it happen, I wouldn't advocate falling down on the 2-yard line. I would only advocate that if the game was tied. If you're tied,
right.
I'm all for falling down on the 2-yard line. But if you're losing, I don't care if it's even by 1 point. Because if you fall down on the 2-yard line and you're tied, you can't lose the game. You
right.
know, I mean, you're going to kick
that's
it.
Correct.
You're going to go to overtime or win the game. Whereas if you're down anything, and I don't care if it's an extra point length field goal, you can still lose the game. That's the test for me. And we have seen it that, you know, the famous Patriots-Giants Super Bowl when they fell into
the
end
Bradshaw.
Zone. Right.
Yep.
And you gave Tom Brady another chance to win it. So I'll never forget
yep.
that one.
Yep.
But I don't think they expected to score that early. They did score that early. You put the ball in the hands of a guy who's already run 90 plays. You've got a gas defense. You can't be shocked at what happened, although it was amazing that they did it the way they did it, again, including with the clock management.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I don't think – and, again, I don't think you're prepared for that big run by Jalen Hurts. I mean, remember – they had a 3rd and 16 after they got hit behind the line of scrimmage by the Bulware kid, and they looked like they were about to get the knockout punch thrown. A 3rd and 16, Hurts throws against the grain and gets it to a makeable 4th and 1. Then they crack the 4th and 1, and then boom,
right.
they hit that play after the wide receiver screen. I don't think they expected it. Didn't really think about. I guess that kind of, you know, leaving. I guess when you're down and you've been leading the whole game and Clemson takes the lead, I guess you take what you can get, especially in the moment. But, no, I totally get what you're saying. But they gave him 2 minutes left. That's a lot of time for Deshaun Watson. They had a dumb penalty, a 15-yarder on the previous scoring drive. They couldn't stop Mike Williams. And, you know, it was just a very, very impressive performance by Clemson. I'm happy for them. So the college season is wrapped up. Many more months to go before we talk about that again. Let's talk about the NFL.
Yeah, can I give you just one more on the college game? Because I've never seen this before.
Of course you can.
Tell me if you have. I've never seen
sure.
this before. Clemson receiving, 4 guys had over 90 yards. Leggett, Williams, Kane, and Renfro. They all had over
That's
90
amazing.
Yards receiving. I don't think I've ever seen that college pro, I don't even know in high school, but I just thought that was so, talk about spreading it around, but for 4 guys to get 90 yards, to me, that was stunning.
It was amazing, just amazing. And, again, amazing performance by Deshaun Watson, 420 yards. But you're right, I mean, spreading it around, Hunter Renfrow had a big game. Leggett had that huge catch. It was just something to watch because it's something I don't get to see a lot of on Sundays with the receiving corps we have in Philadelphia. talk about talk about your receiving core a little bit, and I knew this was going to come up. I don't buy into it necessarily about because I'm talking about the Giants and the Packers, but
the receiving
listen,
core in Miami?
Miami,
the receiving core in Miami,
exactly.
Or the receiving core of the Giants. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? Do you think it really, really, really affected the game? I don't really, really, really think so. But do you know the day they go that if they lose and if Beckham drops two passes and if Shepard drops two passes, you know it's going to be the headlines. The headlines in New York
totally,
are hysterical.
Absolutely.
Shipwreck. One was shipwreck with
right?
the picture of these guys. I mean,
how
look.
How funny is that?
You know, I think I might have written an article about this. Beckham, he's a bright guy. If you heard him giving, and maybe you did, if you heard him after the game explaining rationally why it didn't really affect him, why something 7 days ago, he didn't have a drop all week in practice, he doesn't understand. It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter if your analysis is correct. If you're on a boat in Miami on Monday and you're dropping passes on Sunday, that's the lead story. So he hasn't learned yet. No athlete, I don't think it's ever happened in Philly. It may have never happened anywhere. No athlete in the history of the world ever fought the media and won. No athlete ever fought the fans and won. Cam Newton, you know, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. These guys just don't get it. And Beckham has gone to number one. He really spoke intelligently. If you can hear the he went off for like 3 minutes about how it didn't affect him. But that so misses the point. I mean, the question for me is, look, this guy's immensely talented. But the question is, can he really handle New York? If he did what he did in Tampa Bay, or if he's buried in, I don't know, the 49ers as they are now constituted, I don't know that anyone would care. But if you're in New York or Philly or Chicago, if you're in a really big market or with a really good team, of course they're going to make a difference. The guy I'm disappointed in is Victor Cruz because he should have been the adult in the room and said, hold it
right.
now, fellas. What are we doing here? And I think Victor Cruz might have run himself out of town because there's a real question. Do the Giants need him next year? And I don't think this helped him because he's right there in the picture with these guys. You can say Beckham's a young guy, Shepard's a young guy. But Victor Cruz, who, by the way, was not Victor Cruz. We've talked about it a number of weeks this year. Simply wasn't. So do I think it really affected their play? I don't think so. Did you know the second he dropped the first one, the short first down pass?
Big time.
Forget the touchdown in the corner. As soon as it happened. See, that's the problem. Even Eli Manning said, you put pressure on yourself when you do something like that. And if you don't come through, that's the whole story. Now, my whole story, and I want to write an article on this, the problem with Beckham forward-looking is not what happened in a boat last week. The problem is, and nobody talks about this stuff, two or three times during that game he went up and complained to the refs, openly complained, hands out, yelling at the refs, pass interference. One or two he might have been right, one or two he might have been wrong. But this is the bigger problem for Beckham forward-looking. He's yelling at the refs. You don't think the word's out on Beckham? Every ref in the league knows this guy is a whiner and a complainer. He's not unlike the baseball batter who always argues that strike call. He's not unlike the NBA player who goes to the basket and thinks he gets fouled every time and tells the ref. You quickly get a reputation if you do that in any of those sports, and guess what? It's hard to get rid of that. That's the bigger problem for Beckham, and he probably doesn't even know that.
No, it's unfortunate because the Giants and their defense – really kept them hanging around. They sacked Rodgers three times in the first half, and I was kind of thinking, here we go again. This is their defense coming up big. Give enough opportunity to Eli Manning, which never really came to fruition. They only scored 6 points in the first half, and then Green Bay scores, and then they get an opportunity. A guy drops a ball, which would have run out the clock in the half, and gives Rodgers another.
Right.
Crack, you know what I mean, and he, you know, the Hail Mary to Randall Cobb. And then after that, Rodgers became Rodgers. It seemed like in the second half, and he just took over the game. Four touchdowns. They didn't run the ball very well. 75 yards as a team, but it is really hard to stop that guy. And once he got going with Randall Cobb and some of his other receivers, it was a long second half for the Giants.
Yeah, well, don't forget Rainey of the Giants fielding the kickoff on the three, like
was
he
another
was
play,
like,
right?
like he was fielding a punt. I never could get an explanation. I mean, the only thing I can come up with is he lost his mind and thought it was a punt where he wants to catch it on the three before it goes out of bounds at the two or the one. It was so bizarre. And Mike McCarthy, God bless him. You know, again, these guys are top coaches. They make millions of dollars. But God bless him, 14-6. Packers have all the momentum. He inexplicably decides to go for it from his own 41 on 4th and 1.
Right.
And that got the Giants back in the game. But the Giants really, you know, we talked all year about the Giants and their inability to score points. And I am not, you know, there's 487 people in New York going, oh, I knew when it was 6-0 and they scored that touchdown, we should have had 14. I knew we were going to lose. I don't think so. All I thought when it was 6-0 is, man, we should have scored more points, and we're not the scoring points team. We just don't, you know, they didn't score 20 points their last five games, I think the number is now, the Giants. And you're not
That's correct.
Into Green Bay. So they needed touchdowns. Now, look, Eli, people are coming down a little on Eli. He was just okay for the whole season, but he made some great throws. The one that Beckham dropped short on a 3rd and 8.
Sure he did.
They didn't get any points there. The one Beckham, he hit Beckham in the end zone for a touchdown that he dropped. And the same drive, he hit Shepard in the end zone for a touchdown that he dropped, and they had to take 3 points. So hard to blame Eli. And then when he gets the gift, you know, he throws a 41-yard touchdown pass, you know, to Tavarius King, who, like, nobody knows.
Yep.
And
no
it's
one
a
knows.
Game. It's a game thanks to Mike McCarthy, but he's got Aaron Rodgers on his side. And, yeah, he did become Aaron Rodgers. Don't forget the Giants lost Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. That was a big loss. That contributed a little to Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. But disappointing from a Giants fan perspective, but once they got rolling, I did want to mention one final play, and the game was over, and you know the play I'm talking about. It's 31-13. It's late. It's in the fourth quarter. Eli Manning goes back to pass, and Clay Matthews strips him. Everybody kind of thought it was a forward pass. It kind of looked like it's almost going forward to me. But there's 22 guys.
That's an incomplete pass,
Yeah, there's 22 guys on the field, and Clay Matthews, out of 22 guys, who hit Manning, literally runs 20 yards, knocks the Giant off the ball, and recovers the fumble. They should put that film on a little, like, DVD or something and send it to every kid in the country who wants to play football. I wouldn't want my kids to play football, and thankfully my son didn't. But if you're going to play football, that's how you play football. And I was just amazed how 21 guys didn't play football, and Clay Matthews literally ran 20, 25 yards to knock a Giant off the ball and recover it. Did it matter in the big scheme of things? Not really. But is that the play you show anybody who wants to be an athlete in any sport? That's the play. I thought it should have got more playing time than it did, although admittedly within the context of the game, it did change the game. But that's how you play football or any sport.
Play to the echo of the whistle. And when it comes down to it, though, Steve, isn't it all Tom Coughlin's fault that the Giants lost?
Well, you got to wonder, Tom Coughlin now, as you know, the executive VP of the Jaguars, probably too old to coach, but took a good job from a franchise he essentially created, you'll recall.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he's laughing or smiling, but Coughlin was the guy who was very bitter that he was not given another chance, didn't get that $200 million defense kick that McAdoo got. McAdoo certainly didn't acquit himself really well. I don't know that he could have done a lot more, but look, they ran into a buzzsaw, even though they dominated the buzzsaw for the first 25, 27 minutes of the game. It rarely flips like it did, but that's what, in my opinion anyway, that's what a Hail Mary can do to you. How this guy gets behind in an NFL game, how one of the corners or safeties on the Giants doesn't just run to the back of the end zone and stand there and literally knock anyone out of the way. You know, it's a free-for-all there. I mean, you saw Cobb pushed. I don't know if it was Janoris Jenkins.
Sure.
He pushed somebody, and pretty much anything goes unless you absolutely, you know, kill a guy in the end zone.
Mall
on Hail Marys, anything goes. And I don't want to say that was the total turning point of the game because McCarthy gave him one back and it was 14-13, but certainly that was a gigantic play after the Giants had dominated the first half. They went to go down 8 is a big deal.
No, I absolutely agree. Going into halftime like that, the other game, I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed in Wild Card Weekend. Average margin of victory was 18.3 points, and as some of them stayed, you know, they stayed within striking distance towards the end, and then got away. But if you look at the Pittsburgh Miami game, 30-12, we can talk about that. Let's talk about the other NFC game first. Your Seahawks, because they look pretty sharp. Russell Wilson, a pair of TDs. Thomas Rawls had a big game, 161 yards. Doug Baldwin had a big game. The Lions, after I think they were 9-4, they lose their last three regular season games. They lose the first game in the playoffs. That's 9 straight playoff games they've lost. That's an NFL record. But the Seahawks at home are very tough. And 26-7. Your thoughts on your preseason Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, wasn't overly impressed, and took Detroit with the points, and you know, that was a game for three quarters, but I think Stafford's finger, they were showing more before and after how he kept his finger off the ball. I think that was a minor thing, but, you know, Detroit got some of the dumbest penalties in the history of the world. Anquan Boldin, who should know better.
Yeah,
Haloti Ngata, just stupid stuff. I do want to say, though, and everyone knows now that there was a face mask penalty when Richardson made that incredible one-handed catch. But the interesting thing to me was I don't think he could have caught the ball unless he grabbed Tavon Wilson's face mask, because he needed some leverage. He needed something to hold on to catch it with his left hand. If there was nothing to hold on to, I think he would have just flipped over. So
he had to hold on to something.
Exactly. So I thought that was fascinating. You know, it's interesting how Al Michaels and Collinsworth, they did not see that. And then Stafford said, you know, said it should have been interference. He was on the sidelines making it that it should have been interference against Richardson. And when Al Michaels said, oh, Stafford thinks it's interference against Richardson, and Collinsworth said, no, no way. And then literally 5 minutes later, they're showing the replay. Hey, let's take a look at that. Look at that face mask penalty. So I don't like it when these guys totally miss something, argue against it once it's brought up, and then when it's shown that they were obviously wrong, can't say, yeah, I missed that one. I mean, it's – but, you know, some guys do. Phil Simms, to his credit – I know I'm a biased Giant fan, but to his credit, I think he's the best color commentator. You will hear him say, man, I missed that one. And that just makes you more intelligent to me, more honest, and you believe the guy more
when
he talks. But overall, I thought Seattle was good, not great. I thought Detroit's incredibly stupid penalties. You know, that was another thing. When you talk about personal fouls and unnecessary roughness, and should Bolden have been thrown out of the game, and they were confused on that. But the rule is on unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. It is not on unnecessary roughness. If you get two, this was more geared towards unsportsmanlike conduct, taunting. This was not geared to safety of the game. This was geared to something different, taunting and other things. So when you get personal fouls that are unnecessary roughness and you get two of them, you don't get kicked out of the game, which Al Michaels thought Anquan Boldin should have been kicked out. It's only if you get these two, like, taunting penalties, which sounds a little weird. I mean, I'm all for sportsmanship and stuff, but this isn't the NFL. They're trying to kill each other, let's be honest. They want to win 51 to nothing. They don't want to sit on the ball when they're up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, see Bill Belichick. And, I mean, that's just the game. So the fact that they're ejecting people for taunting but not ejecting people for two unnecessary roughness penalties, for example, is a little strange to me, but that is the rule. Personal fouls, it's not two personal fouls. It's two unsportsmanlike conduct personal fouls that gets you ejected. And all of those, none of them were unsportsmanlike conduct. The two to Boldin, the one to Haloti Ngata. Tavon Wilson, I think, got a roughing the passer. That's a personal foul, but it is not a get me kicked out of the game if I do two of them. So that's kind of a misunderstanding of the rule. But, yeah, was Seattle good? Yeah, was Thomas Rawls good? Thomas Rawls, by the way, from Flint, Michigan. I don't know if you knew that, but he was kind of playing in his hometown, so he had some real license to play well. Baldwin was unbelievable. Seattle's tough. I'm probably going to pick them to beat Atlanta. We can talk about that. I'll certainly take the points on them. But they didn't blow me away, much as I hope they make it to the Super Bowl. They did not blow me away, and I still think they miss Earl Thomas. You couldn't really see this in this game. Again,
sure.
I think Stafford was injured. They couldn't. They had some chances, but they shot themselves in the foot a lot. But, you know, Russell Wilson, 23 for 30, 24 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Richardson, unbelievable. Baldwin, unbelievable. Thomas Rawls, unbelievable. It's going to be – I think it's going to be a shootout next week in Atlanta, but I know we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Thomas Rawls, I think, can be an honorary member of the Flintstones with Mateen Cleaves and Mo Peterson and that crew now with 161 yards. I don't know if Marshawn Lynch ever did that in a playoff game with the Seahawks, but certainly an impressive performance overall by the Seahawks and their defense, especially only yielding 6 points to the Lions, and they are done again. Well, the Steelers. Steelers were the Steelers. They have their version of the triplets with Le'Veon Bell and Roethlisberger.